Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the unity of the Spirit. We thank you for the bond of peace. We thank you for the family of God. Lord God, I don't know where I would be without the family of God. Oh, Lord, some of us don't have blood relatives, and some of us have them, but they just don't know you, Lord. But I thank you, Lord God, for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, we thank you for your love and your peace. We thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. Father, if we had 1,000 tongues, we cannot thank you for all the many, many blessings, Lord God. So, Lord, once again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fall on us, Holy Spirit. We pray you don't just hover, but fall on us. Oh, Lord, meet us, Lord, Holy Spirit, and work with us. Deal with us, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Move throughout this entire house, Lord God, and not just this house, but all of the houses that call on the name of Jesus as Lord today. And not just in this world and in this state and in this nation, but all over the world, Lord. Help us, Lord God, as we go forward in your name. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So today we're going to start in the Lord of Glory. If you don't have a handout, I don't see any more over there. So I thought there was some hand. If you need a handout, who needs a handout still? We're on a new lesson called The Lord of Glory. As far as page number, my page numbers are different than yours. But you don't have one? We gave these out the Sunday before last, The Lord of Glory. And I think I have an original here. Where are we? Let's see. River. Thought I had the original. Did I do? Here is, does anyone know how to use the copier? Who knows how to use the copier here? Okay, here's an original. So if you need to make a few copies of The Lord of Glory. So we finished up The Deliverer the week before last, and now we're going into lesson 27. We're almost done with the book, guys. After almost two and a half years, we're almost done with the book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I have. I tell you, I have drawn so much closer to Christ and understanding Christ so much better because of going through that book, you know, chapter by chapter, and just really understanding all that he is. And it's just glorious in our sight. And lesson 27, again, is an exciting lesson. It is the Lord of Glory. And our key verse comes from 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. And it says, "The wisdom I proclaim is God's secret wisdom, which is hidden from human beings, but which he has already chosen for our glory, even before the world was made. None of the rulers of this world knew this wisdom. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And that those scriptures are packed with a lot of information about the nature of things. And the key theme of this chapter is majesty. And boy, isn't that exciting just to talk about the majesty of Christ, you know, just talk about his glory and, you know, who he is as far as the amazingness of Christ. Your picture that we have in the lesson is a picture of Christ on the throne. And you can see the reflection of him as the Lion of Judah behind him, you know. So again, we're going to talk about the majesty of Christ. The first comment on your lesson says, creation is a reflection of its creator, and all of the beauty about us mirrors the majesty of God. All of creation testifies to the splendor of Christ's mantle of majesty. And we're going to really break this reflection of God's majesty down. First of all, it's important to understand in the next point, it says majesty is a state of being. It is not just something any human can make up or pretend to be. Majesty just is. Do you understand? Majesty just is. You can't make up majesty. You can't conjure up majesty. Majesty just is. Either you have it or you don't. You know, and Christ has majesty. It just is. It comes only from the majestic. He who is of royal power, or even our God. Either you have it or you don't. You can't make it up. Some people try to fake it, but you cannot fake majesty. It's just like someone that has grace. You ever met people that just have grace about them? You know, like John F. Kennedy's wife, Jacqueline Kennedy. Boy, they used to describe her as a lady that had grace. You know, that she just carried herself in such a way and she spoke in such a way. You ever been around people like that? They just never seem ruffled, you know, just always just got their self together. And, you know, when they speak, even their speaking is of grace. And it's like, even when people try to fake it, you know, try to look dignified and try to look this or that, you know, it's just, you know, it's just surface stuff. Well, majesty, when we talk about majesty, we're talking about something that just is. The next point in your lesson says, many may come and claim to be on the level of the one true God, but time and time again, they fail to radiate, sustain, and reflect majesty, the Lord of glory. So again, majesty is something that just is. You can't fake it. You can't make it up. His majesty, the next point says, his majesty brings dignity and integrity and power. And I want you to remember those three words, dignity, integrity, and power. This combination is the hope of all creation. Creation knows that the Lord of glory has created them and will sustain them through all that may come. Even after creation fell, his majesty remained full of who he is. His majesty remained our hope. And we've got to understand this. I'm telling you, it's like, it's majesty. You can't take away from majesty. Majesty is what sustains us right now. I know we probably don't get it, but it's his majesty that created everything that we see. Majesty created the earth, the planet. So even after we fell, the majesty of planet earth still remain, because you can't reduce majesty. Even if the creatures on the earth make choices that reduce themselves, the majesty still remains because it cannot stop being majestic. Do you get that? His majesty was something we could see and we can hope to attain to once again. See, that gives us hope, because when I see the majesty of God, when I look at a sunset and a sunrise, when I look at different things in the earth, it gives me hope that one day I can attain to that again. That's where I was. That's where we were before. We were on the same level as that majesty. But because we believed a lie, we fell into sin, and sin contaminates everything. And that's what happened to the human race, is that we got contaminated and we fell from this level of majesty. But we see the hope of his majesty all around us. We're automatically drawn to that which is better than ourselves, aren't we? We're drawn to things that are beautiful. We're drawn to things that have order, aren't we? It's like you're drawn to the beautiful. You know, you're drawn to, you know, if you're standing in a place of chaos where there's a bunch of trash and, you know, all this stuff, and you see another room where that's orderly, where everything is in its place and it looks, you know, you're automatically, I want to go in that room. I want to get out of all this trash and all this garbage and all of this ugliness, and I want to go into that room that has the beauty in it, that has, because we're automatically drawn to where we fell from. You know, we take that for granted, but I want you to really see us, see human beings and what we automatically are drawn to. We're drawn to beauty because beauty reflects majesty, and that's why we are drawn to those things. We are drawn to the beauty and the order. We can't help but stare at a sunset or a sunrise. You ever seen the sky? You know, I live out in Pueblo West, and sometimes right after the rain has come, you know, I don't know, in the evening, just right, it just rained, and now the rain is moving over, and the sun starts peeking out, it's going down, but it starts peeking out, and it hits those clouds that are remaining just right, and this orange and this purple, oh my God, it takes your breath away, and you can't help but just stand there and just stare at the majesty We're drawn to it. Sunsets, sunrises, you're drawn to it. Flowers, oh, you're drawn to it. Beauty, you know, the Grand Canyon. When I think about, you know, I've never seen the Grand Canyon, but seen pictures of, but I've seen Canyon City, man. When you look at that canyon over there, oh my goodness. You know, when Chris and I were driving back from Seattle, and we, I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but we took the mountain route instead of the highway. Okay, I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, I just thought, okay, this is going to be fun. Oh my goodness. Coming over that pass, that Monarch Pass, oh my God. See, I was like, oh, see, this girl from New York, we're not used to this kind of stuff. But the beauty was just breathtaking. The majesty that it just drew you. You know, you're trying to stay on this narrow road and not drive off the road, but you're just drawn by, oh my God, how gorgeous and how beauty, because we're drawn. There's something that is within us that is drawn to the awe and the splendor of majesty. And we want to be a part of it, if just for a moment. We want to be a part, and that's why we take our pictures in front of it. You know, we take our pictures in front of these majestic places. Why? Because we want to be a part of that. For just a moment, I could snap myself in front of Niagara Falls. See, I did grow up in Niagara Falls, and boy, it's just an amazing waterfall. I mean, nothing like it in the entire world is Niagara Falls, you know, and I'm like, you just want to click, do that selfie in front of it, because you want to be a part of the majesty. We long for what we once were before we fell in the garden. So we've got to understand this majesty piece. So Jesus, when we look at Jesus and his majesty, you know, yes, we're drawn to him because he is what we once were before we fell. And that's ingrained in humanity. So, you know, it just baffles my mind when people say there is no God, when people say they don't. I'm like, but why are you drawn to order? Why are you drawn to beauty? Because that's his majesty, but you're drawn to it, you know, because that's who we are. That's where we came from. So the next point says, his majesty cannot be decreased or detained by any power in the universe, for he spoke the universe into existence. Hallelujah. If his majesty, his glory ever appeared to be overcome by the power of another, it is because he chose to submit that power for his good purposes and to save a fallen world and to reconcile the world to himself. So if it ever appeared, like on the cross, it may appear as if his majesty, when he came down to earth, it may appear like his majesty was subjected to evil, and that his majesty was just under the power of evil. If it ever appears that way, guys, no, it's because he allowed it. He chose to submit his majesty to this thing for just a moment to save you and to save me, to save us. That's the only time he did that. He came down here and he submitted his majesty to all of this stuff just so that he could save us. You guys can come on in. Only just so he could save us and reconcile us to himself. So that's why he did it. And it goes back to our key verses, our key verse, 1 Corinthians 2 and 7 and 8, that says, if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Because see, they didn't know it because he hid it from them. Because had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But he had an assignment to complete. So when he had to complete his assignment, he hid his glory so that the assignment from his Father could be completed, which is to die for the sins of the world. And even as his majesty hung on a cross, he reflected more hope and glory to mankind than has ever been seen in human history. Do you understand that? Even as he hung on the cross, he reflected more of his glory, his majesty on humankind than has ever been seen in our history. And again, the poet said 2,000 years have come and gone, and he remains the central figure of the human race, Jesus Christ, because he reflected his glory like no other time. We continue to wear the symbol of his majesty around our neck in the form of the cross. People wear that cross, you know, that empty cross around their neck. It is a symbol of his majesty. It is a symbol of his glory that reflected on the human race, even at that moment that he was on the cross. The cross represents the glory that came down and showed us dignity, integrity, and power that could not be diminished by the world. This is majesty. See, Jesus, even though he hid his majesty, when he got on that cross, he reflected glory, and he reflected power, and he reflected dignity, and that's all encompassing his majesty, and it could not be diminished by the world. Our next point says, his majesty takes our breath away. At our first glance of him, we have seen nothing like him or known anyone like him. His beauty and glory stands alone, and all that he has made reflects his majesty. It stands alone. We have not seen anybody like Jesus Christ. That's why all these other things that people talk about in worship, I said, you have not, it doesn't compare to Jesus Christ. I was talking about Superman, and I was watching this Superman show, and they were talking about Superman being a savior. They were using the term savior. I said, are you kidding me? You know, he doesn't come close. You haven't seen anything like Jesus Christ. You haven't known anybody like Jesus Christ. From a flower to a newborn babe, you can see the majesty in the details of his creation. I don't know, if you look close at a flower, you will see the veins in a petal of a flower, the footprint of every newborn babe ever born on planet Earth is different. That's why they footprint the babies, because their fingerprints aren't quite developed yet. But that footprint, I tell you, that footprint is distinct and from every single child ever born in the history of humanity, it is distinct. Because his majesty is in it. His majesty, we still reflect his majesty. He cannot create anything that does not reflect his majesty. He just can't do it, because how can anything less than majesty come from majesty? The majestic. I want you to think about yourselves. You are a reflection of his majesty. Even after our fall, his majesty continues to be reflected in us, in our bodies. You know, I'm amazed. You know, when I study medicine, I'm amazed at the system. System on top of system. And then they integrate together. You know, the nervous system integrates with the muscular system and the skeletal system. And I mean, the circulatory system and just all these systems. I mean, he could have just made us out of Play-Doh, you know? He could have just made us out of Play-Doh. And that was it. But instead, he just had to reflect majesty when he called man into being, and he just had to create system on top of system on top of system. Even a flower, he got to create systems in the flower. I'm like, it's just a flower. But he just has to create his majesty on whatever he does, and whatever he speaks has to reflect his majesty. The order of the universe. The order of, I mean, we take so much for granted. I was thinking about this planet. My sister, I was talking to my sister yesterday, and when they came here last year, I took them up to Pikes Peak on the train. We went on the train ride up to Pikes Peak. And she was saying, yeah, she said, I was just thinking about that. She says, we went through like four seasons getting up to that mountain. We started out and it was all hot and we were hot. And then we started to go up that mountain and then it got a little chilly, you know, and like, you know, and then sort of, you know, there wasn't that many, much growth there. And as we got higher, there wasn't the growth, the whole scenery started to change. And she said, and by the time we got to that mountain, it was snowing. it wasn't just freezing, Terry. It was snowing, okay? we were in August and it was snowing. And I said, the reason for that, because of the atmosphere. We don't have as much atmosphere at the higher elevation, doesn't have as much as the earth is blanketed in an atmosphere. That's why life can grow and be sustained on planet Earth, because of the atmosphere that is enveloped around this planet. You know, and I said, and the higher you go, the less atmosphere you have. And that's why it gets colder as you go up higher and higher and higher. And she goes, yeah. I said, yeah, ask the people on Jupiter. You know, how important an atmosphere is. I said, oh, wait a minute. There are no people on Jupiter, are there? Because they don't have an atmosphere. You know, so God created this envelope of atmosphere around us, His order, like I gotta protect them from the harshness of space where there is no oxygen, there is no, it's just cold. It's icy cold and there's no atmosphere. So I enveloped my beloved. I'm telling you, hallelujah. I get excited about this stuff. I enveloped my beloved in an envelope of warmth and air and oxygen so that things can grow and thrive and live, and that's his order. And he told the oceans, you can only go this far, you know, and then we're gonna put life in the ocean, and I'm gonna salt it just right. You know, took his salt shaker, if you will, and he just salted the oceans just right, because life needs salt to live. You know, your bodies have to have a certain degree of salt in order to sustain you. You know, so he just salted the oceans for the life in the oceans. And then he made the freshwater fish. I mean, I'm like, his order and his structure. And that's why all of life, you know, as the scripture says, the earth declares the glory of God. The scriptures also said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because you have to be a fool to think that order came from chaos, as they talk about this Big Bang theory. I'm like, what a lie that is. I have never seen order come out of chaos without some kind of intelligence being involved to bring that order. If we throw all that stuff on the floor, that stuff will sit on the floor and sit on the floor for 100 years until somebody with order and intelligence picks it up and sets it in place. That's our God. That's our Lord. So again, we're talking about his majesty. We're talking about how amazing his majesty is. And so we, as his creation, we reflect his majesty. And I want to talk about that piece of his majesty. You know, well, let me just say this, our bodies, our order, and even our creative works, everything that man creates is a reflection of God's majesty. You know, whether they serve God or not, everything they do, from our mighty skyscrapers to the bridges that we build, it is a reflection of our Creator, whether we serve God or not. Let's get on that. But there's an issue. See, there's an issue with our reflection of God after the fall. See, after the fall, we were just a reflection of Him. When you look at a reflection, you don't see the actual thing. You only see partial. You only see a partial visual aspects of a thing or a person. In a reflection, there's no actual substance. If you look at your reflection in a mirror, you're looking at a reflection. That's not actually a person. There's no substance to that reflection in the mirror. It's just a reflection. There's no true thing or true person. It's just a partial visual. And I say partial visual because you can't see everything in a mirror. That's why we do this and we do that, because you can only see partial. We humans, we reflect our Creator. We look like Him because we're created in His image. But until we come to know Jesus, we fail to have the actual substance of Him within us. Do you understand? When we fell, it's like that substance of God came out of us, and we became just a reflection of who He is, a partial visual of what He is. And I brought in a demonstration because I, you know, this hit me yesterday how I could demonstrate this, because this is what we have here. This is what we are. See, we are a reflection. This is an image of a flower, okay? You know, and it's two-dimensional, meaning you can see up and sideways, but if I turn it sideways, there's nothing. Turn it behind, actually nothing. It's just an image. And this is what happened to us when we sinned in the garden. We became a reflection of God. This is beautiful, but it's just a reflection, but no substance. There's no reality to it. But when Jesus comes, do you understand? When Jesus comes, see, Jesus, you know, if I turn this every way, you can see in all three dimensions, the substance, it has fragrance. It is real. I can feel it. See, I'm feeling nothing there, but I can feel the flower. I can smell the flower. The flower, it's real. It's substance. There's substance to this. You know, and this is what happens when we accept Jesus Christ. You know, this is a crude demonstration, but I'm trying to get you all to understand majesty. See, we reflect it. Without Christ, this is what we look like. We can build our empires and we can build our shiny buildings, but it's just a reflection, but there's really not much stuff to it. No purpose, no destiny, just a reflection of God's great majesty. But when you come to know him, hallelujah. You see the difference? When you come to know him, purpose, destiny, you have fragrance. You know, you can reproduce. You know, it makes a big difference. Whatever angle you're looked at, they can still see Christ. They can still see substance. They can still see the reality of the majesty of who he is. It's a crude demonstration, but I'm hoping you're getting the call of Christ as majesty. And then when you accept him, you become this real thing. Because that's where we were before, folks. That's where we were in the garden. We were real. We were with him. We had his spirit within us. Man was a living soul. God had breathed his breath into us, and we were a living soul. And then God told them, if you eat that fruit, you will surely die. Meaning you would separate from me, and you will never be the same. You will not be the same. And that's what happened. If you can imagine this flower becoming this. We look nice. We look like we're all that, but folks, nothing to us. Nothing to us. We live, we exist for a moment, and we die. So, this on the other hand, boy, if I take these seeds out of here and plant them, oh my goodness. You see, it's real. I can't take anything out of here and reproduce it. Nothing. Because it's not real. So again, we want to look at what the majesty of God really looks like. And that's what we're looking at. Lord, I want your majesty. I want your glory in me again. And it's, as I said, it's not just about accepting him and that's it. You know, you want that majesty to grow. You know, that flower just used to be a little bud. You know, and that's what we are when we accept Christ. But he wants to grow us up and makes us into this beautiful flower. Next point says, when we accepted him, we took on his majesty. He gave us his glory to reflect to the world. So just like Christ, no matter what comes in life or death, his glory will come shining through. See, when you accept him, when you become real, now you can reflect something. You can reflect something else. See, that picture cannot give off a fragrance. I don't care how pretty it is, it will not give off a fragrance. But that flower, oh my goodness. That's one of those lilies, those Easter lilies, I'm telling you. And I actually, Easter time, I bought a whole, the plant. Oh my goodness, I sat it on my table, and oh my goodness, the fragrance that came out of that thing. That's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ, because you become real. And you become an entity that really reflects him and reflects his glory. Don't let the liar tell you anything different, okay? Don't let the enemy tell you you don't reflect. You reflect his glory. And you are showing the world, just like we reflect, he reflected his glory on us. But then when we take him in, we reflect his glory onto the world. So no matter what comes in life or death, his glory will come shining through because it's real now. Just like a beautiful tree that returns every season with new and greater beauty than the previous year, his glory will be seen in us again and again, greater and greater. His glory should be reflecting in you more this year than it was last year. I'm telling you, his glory reflects on us. The scriptures declare, all of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an even greater degree of glory. Oh boy, the apostle said we go from glory to glory to glory. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, are you all getting this? We go from glory to glory to glory as we continue to reflect him and let him grow himself up in us. We just radiate this glory. And when we walk into a room, I'm telling you, when the children of the living God walk into a room, you reflect something. You reflect his glory. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to do. The scripture says that it transforms us into his likeness to an even greater degree of glory. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we don't understand why we keep getting up every day. You know, I'm just like, the human race, why do we keep getting up every day? It's not like the day is not going to be full with a bunch of stuff, but we keep getting up every day. You know, why do you have this joy about you in this world? You know, this world that's ever increasing in pain. Why do you keep singing on the hard days? Hallelujah. Why do you, you know, why do you keep hoping? Why do you? I'm going to tell you why. It's because of his glory and his majesty in you. See, glory and majesty cannot be still. It cannot sit. You can't cover up glory and majesty. You know, it's going to come popping out. It's going to come popping through. You know, sometimes, you know, when the sun is bright and the sun is going down in the evening, I don't know if you have one of those windows in your house and that sun just comes in just right, you know, and you can put the curtain up, but still, you're going to see some, that glory will come through. And sometimes if there's just a little crack in the curtain, boy, it's just peering right on in, because that's what glory and majesty does. It gets up. It goes through. I don't care how hard the day is. I don't care what happened. Glory gets up. Glory gets you up. Because you gotta reflect his majesty. Some Lord, I said, Lord, why do we go on? Why do we even get up? Why do we? Because his glory compels us to get up and to go again. The next point says, because Christ in us, it is our hope of glory. I'm understanding that scripture. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hope of, I'm like the way they tied that in, hope and glory together from Colossians 1:27. And we're going to hit on that scripture again. So the next point says we can reflect his glory with uncovered faces because his glory, his majesty, took away our shame. His glory made us children of the Most High God. The scriptures declare, hallelujah, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God or the children of glory. Do you understand you're the children of glory? You can't help but reflect. I'm telling you, you drawing close to Jesus, you keep growing in him, you can't help but reflect his glory. You know, you can't help it. It will just be on you. The Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of the living God or a child of glory. The next point says his glory and majesty within us converted us from permanent residence. Okay, you got to get this one. It converted us from permanent residence to ambassadors of Christ in this fallen world. You've taken on a new identity. You are no longer a permanent resident here. You know, but you are ambassadors of Christ in this fallen world. As ambassadors, we look to go home one day to live forever in his glory and majesty. See, that's why they say, wear this world like a loose garment. Don't get caught up in any stuff here, okay? Don't get caught up in any man-made stuff, because I'm telling you, everything man-made depreciates. I'm going to tell you right now. It depreciates. Don't get caught up in it. This is not home, folks. This is not home. We are children of glory. We are children that reflect his majesty. And as glorious beings, we no longer belong here, but we belong to the glorious and the home of the glorious. You understand that? You belong to the home of the glorious and no longer here. No longer here. So, you know, don't get caught up in what happens and what doesn't happen. Keep on your assignment. Keep doing your assignment. Keep doing what he calls you to do. We're going to talk about the bride in just a bit, just how he's preparing his bride. The next point says, for we know that if the earthly tent, our physical bodies, which is our house, is torn down through death, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our immortal, eternal, celestial dwelling. I'm telling you, don't you long for it? I mean, sometimes you just long for heaven, don't you? I mean, I think if you live long enough, you get to a point where you're like, Lord, I just want you to come. I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I don't know if you ever felt that way, but just, I all the time, you know, you can, yeah, you feel it. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows Rev F, but I haven't seen her for years, but yeah. I'll never forget what she had to say. She was in the hospital, really. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, not in her dreams or visions,
yes,
appeared there. Uh-huh. And she said, in his eyes is everything you've ever wanted.
Wow. I believe it. I believe it. Because as I was studying this majesty thing, you know, this majesty piece, I'm like, oh my goodness. It is everything that we used to be. Everything that we, you know, all we've known is, again, living in Babylon, raised in Babylon, infiltrated, educated in Babylon. And now when he came and we accepted him, it's like he's got to pull us out of this thing and show us his majesty. And yes, in his eyes, we see everything that we ever wanted. And it's not talking about the tangible things and the physical things. It's talking about the things in your heart that you don't even know to pray. The things going on with you that you don't even know are there. You just feel certain feelings and you don't even know why. But within him, it's there. The relief of it is there. So we understand that we long to be clothed with our immortal, eternal, celestial dwelling. Verse 20 says, so we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We as Christ's representatives plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled with God. This is the apostle pleading with humans, with humanity. Because see, the humanity doesn't know who they are. We don't know who we are. The unbelievers they don't know who they are. I don't know where we came from. So they come up with the only thing they can come up with, some theory of evolution where you came from a little drop of water, an amoeba. You started out as an amoeba, then the amoeba developed into a fish or a frog or an amphibian and crawled out of the ocean. And then after it lived on land for a while, it developed, you know, fur and hair. And it grew into at some point, it grew into an ape or a monkey. And then we came out of a monkey. And that's the best that they can do because they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand. It took millions of years, and they don't understand where they came from. They don't understand that they are part of the majestic, that they reflect the majesty of God. And that's why all life is sacred to God. That's why all life is precious to God, because they are part of his reflection. You know, yes, yes, son, yes, daughter, yes, you've been reduced to this. Yes, you have been reduced to this image, but you're still hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you get it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, he transforms you. The hope of glory, and that's what that scripture is all about, is that he transforms. So the apostle here is pleading to human beings to be reconciled to God. Become an ambassador of this planet where your home is in heaven. The next point said, the Lord of glory is our hope of glory. His glory perfects us so that we can be presented to him as glorious and without blemish. As we continue to grow in him through submission to him, his majesty will overflow and consume us and will make us glorious. And see, that's our issue right there. Submission, oh my goodness. Some people see that as such a bad word of submission, you know, and the reason why you see it as a bad word is because we're arrogant. We're prideful. That's why. That's where we fell. Again, we have to always go back to the garden where we fell. We have to go to the garden, and then you guys know what I'm going to say next, and you have to go to the altar of humility. You know, it's like, you know, because he wants to show his glory in us, but it's our pride and our arrogance that keeps us from it, because we got to submit to his will and his way so that we can reflect his glory. The scripture says, to them God willed. Do you understand that? God's will to make them known what are the riches of this glory, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. He's perfecting us. He's perfecting us. But that glory cannot come out of us and be reflected in us unless we submit to him. See, you're going to stay a bud. You will stay a bud. Even though after you've accepted Jesus Christ, you will stay a bud unless you allow his glory to flow into you and cause you to blossom and become. And this is God's norm for everybody. You know, it is not God's will that anybody remain a bud. Year after year after year after year, you're still a bud. Not growing, not reflecting his glory. Folks, something should be changing in you. Something should be changing in you. Every year you should be changing. And I'm not talking about having more money or having a bigger house or having a nicer car. I'm talking about something changing in you. That you are doing things that you wouldn't have done before. That you are, you know, you're making a sacrifice. You're making some decisions that people are like, what? You're going to do that? You're going to, I'm telling you. What does the scripture say? They that know their God shall be made strong and do exploits. If you know him. You know, people are going to look at you like, you're going to do what? That's just what's becoming. You're going to give that? Wow. You're going to spend that much time? Because you should be reflecting glory. Amen. And in doing that, when the people look at you, because when you are reflecting glory, just like that sunset, people are going to they're just going to be looking at you, staring at you, watching at you. What is she going to do next? You know, but I'm telling you, as you reflect the glory of God, and as people start to look at you, they want to be like you. They are drawn to it. And they want to see, you are the children of glory. See, he works through you. You know, every day, you know, every Sunday, we come in and we pray in the sanctuary. Rose and I and some other folks, we pray in the sanctuary, and we pray over these boards. I don't know, you've seen those boards in the sanctuary with all those names on it, and we pray over those boards. And today I just felt like the Lord was saying, pray over the people that wrote those names on that board. And I was like, oh yeah. He said, pray over the ones that wrote the names, that they will reflect my glory to those folks that they wrote on the board. And I was like, duh. You know, because I'm always praying for the names. Oh, pray for Peter, pray for Janie, and pray for... He said, pray for the ones that wrote it up there. That they would reflect my glory so that those on that board would be drawn to me and come. Because as he said, and I know this means he meant this on the cross, but also he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. If you reflect my glory, I'm telling you, and we got to learn how to reflect his glory. We reflect his glory with love and with joy and with peace. And you're reflecting the fruit of the Spirit. I was talking to another parent today, and, you know, we were just comparing notes with our kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, some days you're like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, I have failed. I have just totally failed. You know, but then I hear he says, you got to love. You got to love even your children. Sometimes you tend to take those family members for granted because it's your family members. You know, they're just there. But I'm telling you, you can love them in. You can love them in. You can love them in. Surprise them by not getting angry. Surprise them by not telling them off. Surprise them. I mean, surprise them, because surprise them. I'm telling you, I mean, because I have to go back to being raised in Babylon, because Babylon tells you, that's Babylon, you know. I used to think it was just the way you should be as a parent. I used to think that, but boy, I'm telling you, God will show you a different way to parent. He's like, surprise them by not getting angry. I mean, not that you don't do your discipline thing, but don't do it in this. Do it in love. Or let the small things go. Okay, yeah, she borrowed my stuff once again, didn't ask. Just small things. I'm like, just go and says, hey, do you have my comb? I can't find you. Have my comb. Thank you. And don't say a word, and they'll be like, you're reflecting glory. You're reflecting, because they're like, because they're sitting there, yeah, I took it. I meant to bring it back. I did. But then this happened. The list is endless. You know. But surprise people by not giving them what you feel they deserve. Surprise them. And in doing so, you reflect his glory. And that's what I mean by they're looking at you like, what? Who is that? You know, give me my mom back. What happened to my mom? Who, you know, you took my mom. So again, the hope of glory, the glory of Christ perfects us. You know, Ephesians 5:25 says, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God, so that in turn he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy, set apart for God, and blameless. Now, in my mind, I'm like, how in the world are we ever going to attain to that? But God can do it. He will do that. I don't know about you guys. Do you ever wonder about heaven? Like, how are we going to be in heaven and everything be good and we're there? You know? Because I know somebody somewhere is going to start some trouble somewhere. Somebody going to start something. You know? So how in the world, Jesus, are we going to be up in heaven with you and some trouble don't start? I think about this city, the New Jerusalem, and I'm like, you know, Lord, how? How in the world? You know, and I think this is what I believe two things will happen. Number one, the hordes of hell are going to be gone. Mm-hmm. The influences of Satan will be gone. And I don't think we even realize the effect that the influences of Satan has on us. I don't think we even realize it. So once that is gone, I think we're going to be so set free that we won't even want to do some of the things that we want. We won't have the thoughts that, those negative thoughts that come in our mind, number one. And number two, the glory of God is going to be within us, and it's going to transform us and change us. And I think we're going to love it so much and appreciate it so much. After what we've been through, we're going to love it so much that we wouldn't even dare think to do something against him. You know, because I think about the holy angels, the angels that his holy angels and how they serve him faithfully for millions of years. They serve him faithfully. And I think we'll be like them, you know, that serve him faithfully because they are in his very presence, you know, and they don't necessarily have the influences of the satanic around them. So that's just my theory. Those are my two things that I feel will be pride. Yes. Pride will be stripped away because I believe pride comes from the influence of the enemy. You hear him in your ear. Mm-hmm. You hear him. You know he. Don't you let them get away with that. After all, you were this and you were that. So yes, that demon of pride will be stripped away from us, and we won't hear those voices anymore.
And what about people? Plus, that we have to forgive and us, plus, and they still don't forgive us, and
I believe in heaven, it just, we're going to let it all go. We're going to let it all go. I believe that. I believe that. What are you holding a grudge about? What, and how long are you going to hold a grudge? We're there for eternity. How long are you going to hold a grudge? For 1,000 years? Yeah. Exactly. We will continue to pray. The Lord of glory continues to do his work and make us more glorious each day. On earth, he makes us more glorious each day. The glory of tomorrow in us will be greater than the glory of yesterday. Don't you love that? The glory of tomorrow will be greater than the glory of yesterday. This is the plan of the Lord of glory as he continues to prepare his bride for the glorious wedding supper that is to come. Now we'll open for questions and comments. Anybody? Come on, you guys were talking. Come on.
I just want to say, we get to the point where we long for heaven. I long for heaven now because, you know, I see Gene can't talk, he understands, mm-hmm. and all the suffering.
You know,
I long for heaven right now, and I believe if Jesus would come right now while I'm here, and Gene and Sam are home, I'm meeting up there. I'm meeting
yes,
up there.
And I long for that too, Margaret. You know, Matt can, my son, let me tell you, let me say this. Matt can talk. You know, Matt can talk, but I long to have a conversation with my son. Yeah. And that's something that you have to look forward to. Yeah. I mean, don't you long for that day when you're going to have that conversation with Gene and Sam?
Oh, yeah.
You
Sam
know?
Be screaming,
blaming. Yes.
And I have a son that
yes.
had a miscarriage.
Yes.
Yes. Meet him.
Yes. I believe it's interesting, those of you that have disabled loved ones, don't you long for the day when you're going to have that conversation with them that you don't have here on earth? And I believe this. I just believe it in my knower that they're going to thank you. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for doing what you needed to do. Thank you for sacrificing the way you did, you know, because you didn't have to do that, but thank you, you know. So you have stuff, you folks that have disabled loved ones, you have something to look forward to. I mean, God could heal them right here on earth. Yes, he can. I know he can. I fasted and prayed for Matthew. I fasted and prayed for that boy. But then I came to realize the ministry that he was reflecting on so many people and me too. The work that he was doing in me. I would not be the person I am today if it wasn't for Matthew and his disability. It changed me. Rose?
I gotta tell you, every Sunday I go over there when I'm, you know, by his, where he sits, and I'll reach out and he just takes my hand.
Takes your hand, yeah.
And I'll tell him, I love you, Matthew, and he'll look at me.
He
said, I love you.
Oh,
see?
Yes.
He talks to me every Sunday.
Yes.
And today I said, what are you doing? Reading the Bible? And he looked at me. Bible.
Yes. Yeah. I'm telling you, he has this way because he's so innocent. You know, Matt has this innocent about him mm-hmm. that when he says things to people, it reflects on people as true.
Yeah.
As truth. Because Matt, if Matt doesn't like, he'll tell you. Yeah. He will tell, if he doesn't want something, he'll tell you no.
When you don't want to
you know, when he, yes. But when he reaches out, it's true. It's not just pretend. He does it. You know, so again, there's so much ministry there that we have to get. Let me get Virginia and I'll come back to you, Margaret.
I kind of like this deal where he says on scripture, it says, so we are ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm. That alone should just really, we need
yes.
to know that.
Yes.
But we need to
yes.
know who we are
yes.
through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as long as we know who we are, and
yes.
we're ambassadors,
yes.
then we are able to do whatever he tells us to do.
Absolutely. When you think about an ambassador for the United States,
yes.
that ambassador represents the United States. He talks like people of the United States. He knows the rules and regulations of the people of the United States.
Uh-huh.
If the ambassador, if he's in another country, if there are citizens of the United States in that country, they come to where the ambassador is.
Yes.
Because the ambassador will protect them and speak for them. But
that's what
we are as Jesus Christ.
Ambassadors.
Ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Ambassadors for the children of the living God. You know, I mean, we're ambassadors. We reflect him wherever we go. You know, just like that ambassador of the United States, when he goes to an event, he is representing the United States. What do you all do? What do we do?
Christ.
We represent Christ. We reflect who he is, you know? And again, it's not about lip service, folks. Because
no.
I'm telling you, the world is tired of lip service. They're tired of Christians and their scriptures and their verses and their quoting. They want to see what you do. So, and that's what it's about. That Christ wants to see what you do. Christ made that clear. He said, which one of the sons did what his father told him to do? The one that said he was going to do it and then didn't do it? Or the ones that said he wouldn't do it but went out and did what his father told him to do?
And there's so many shades to that heart when you walk in the
yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Yes.
So you don't even have to say anything. Just live it. Live it. Okay, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
This deal where you said we come from about the monkey.
Yeah.
I always remember Pastor Wilson back, I think it was at Park Hill, when he said, I dare us insult the monkey.
Insult the monkey. Oh, that's funny. We insult the monkey. The monkey's like, the monkey is saying, they didn't come from us. We don't even know them, okay?
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought it always stood with me.
Yeah.
Because look how protective the animals are.
Yeah.
And us.
I know. I know. We're all jacked up doing all kind of craziness that we do. All kind of different things that we do. The monkey's like, oh no, they did not come from us. Okay. Yeah, that's funny. I got to remember that one. Margaret, what are you saying?
No, I just thought of it. You know, the time that I always thought interchanging the diaper and stuff is just something that had to be done, you know. But I was reading this book on hope, and they were saying that even if you're just a stay-at-home mom with special needs kids, even changing a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen. Amen.
My sister sent this to me a long time ago out of here, and it said that the angels said, oh, we're going to need a special parent for this one with disabilities. I never thought of it before. I'm making a copy of it.
Yeah. And she said something really beautiful just now. She's just saying that even changing your son's diaper reflects God's glory. Because, you know, just like Jesus came down and he hid his glory and he came down basically and changed our diapers.
Even if you're just a stay-at-home mom, you don't work outside the home, just that little thing.
Yes. Amen. Let's pray, guys, that we need to get going. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the lesson. Lord, we just thank you because you are the Lord of glory, Lord God. We thank you for your majesty. We thank you for all your goodness and your grace, Lord God. Father, we just don't understand. I mean, even though we talk about it and we read about it, Lord, it's hard for us to really fathom that you would leave your glory, that you would come down and hide your glory to do what you did for us, Lord God. But Lord, we say thank you. We say thank you, Father, for what you've done. Lord, and I pray that we would have our hearts and our spirits open to reflect your glory, Lord God.
Yes.
Oh, Father, we pray that we cast down the walls of pride in the name of Jesus, and we submit to you so we can reflect your glory to this fallen world, Lord God. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Let us not be buds any longer, but let us grow up into flowers, Lord God, that spring forth and give fragrance to the world. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in us, Lord God. Children of glory, we call ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.